Healthy food options are often limited for low-income residents. The commute to the closest grocery store can take hours if you don't own a car. So corner stores are often the place where people in these neighborhoods buy their food. But many of those stores, you've been to them, you know they don't offer fresh fruits and vegetables. And that can end up having very deadly health consequences for those who depend on those stores. A project at Georgia State University aims to change that. Here to tell us more about it is Rodney Lin. He's Associate Dean for Academic Affairs and Associate Professor in the School of Public Health at Georgia State University. Good morning, Rodney.
Good morning.
Before I start using the word food desert a lot, can you explain what a food desert is?
Sure. So a food desert is an area that can be urban or rural. In urban areas, generally, we're talking about where it's within 1 mile. Within a census tract, there's not a supermarket or a grocery store. The distance in rural areas is 10 miles. So that's generally what we're talking about.
And that doesn't mean it's an area where you can't get food at all.
No.
And this is where we come to your project, because many people can get food, but the corner stores that we're talking about, most people have been to them. They're more like a 7-Eleven, right?
That's correct.
And you can get chips. They sometimes have canned soup.
Right.
What are the foods that many of these stores have?
Well, we're all aware. These are the...
What are the best foods they have?
If you're lucky, you'll see maybe some bananas.
I've never seen a banana in one of these stores.
They may be going bad, but generally you can get water. There may be some canned items. But there's not generally a good selection of healthy foods in these stores. And I think most people know that from experience.
Now, the argument in the past has been that if people wanted to buy that food, then the law of capitalism is that the store owners would supply it. Is there a problem with that equation?
Well, I would say that... we're a product of our environment in many ways. And one of the things that we know in public health is that environments shape and influence behavior. We also know that unhealthy products are rich with sugar, fat, things that are very
tasty, salt.
And so as a result, if I'm in one of those stores with my daughter, she's probably going to gravitate towards one of those unhealthy choices. So I think that when we increase the access to healthy foods and educate consumers, we will see an increase in the purchase of healthy products.
I read one report that found that some people who live in food deserts go days, some of them more than a week, before they have a fresh food item.
Right.
At all. You're nodding your head. That doesn't seem surprising to you.
No, I mean, as you mentioned already, I mean, in many cases, there's not an easy way to get to a grocery store or a supermarket. And the cost of doing that is both a burden as well as a financial cost that is difficult to bear for many of the individuals in these communities.
I want to read you this tweet and let you respond to this one listener who T-Barf tweets, "This is such a myth. What makes one think low-income people will make better food choices than they do other life choices?" I'm not sure what other life choices he's talking about, but this goes back to the fact that when there are bananas there, they're sitting there rotting, right? Nobody's bought them. Do we have evidence that once the fresh fruit is available that people will purchase them?
Well, one of the things we need to think about here is equity. All of us, access to food is a basic need. And all of us, regardless of where we live, should support the idea that residents, wherever they are, have access to the same foods that are in Buckhead. So the idea that because you live in a lower income neighborhood, you don't deserve access to healthy foods. If I'm a mother raising young children, certainly their growth is dependent on nutritious food. So one of the things that we're working towards is to ensure that regardless of income, There's equity and access to healthy food.
And you're doing something kind of innovative here, which is that you're going to the store owners and you're trying to convince them to offer the food. Give me an example of how you pitch this. You walk into this little corner store and you talk to the owner, and what do you say?
Well, you know, in some places across the country, they've had incentives in terms of money to get store owners to do that, and we don't have that luxury. And so we've had to go in and just, as you suggest, have conversations with the store owner and explain to them the burdens around disease and health in the community, and the burdens that residents face in accessing healthy foods. We make a commitment to really work with them to promote the healthy products. So one of the things we can't do is convince them to stock more healthy products and then leave it to chance that these are going to be purchased. So
you have to go back and check.
Right, because people obviously are not used to going to these stores for healthy products. So there has to be a grassroots effort as well to work with local organizations, churches, other neighborhood associations, senior centers, to make sure that residents are aware that these foods are available.
So you are the Associate Dean of Academic Affairs. That's a pretty high position at a university. You're actually going to these corner stores and checking to see if they have vegetables?
Well, I'm certainly fortunate to have a wonderful team
of
research staff. But yes, I'm out in the community as well. I also want to, you know, be sure to note that this is a partnership with the Morehouse School of Medicine. They're the lead on the grant, which is called Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health. And we're working as a result of a needs assessment that they conducted in this community and work with the leaders of the NPUs, the presidents of those NPUs that are part of a community coalition board. So this is not Georgia State just saying this is what we want to do. This is the community and the leader saying this is a priority for us.
Which implies that people in public health take it seriously. And I wonder if the idea is that, especially with the obesity crisis that we have in the United States, that perhaps we're reaping the whirlwind of not having dealt with this earlier. In other words, generation of kids have grown up in food deserts, not making healthy choices. And even if they perhaps grow up into adults and have options, they're not choosing them because that's not what they're used to. Is that fair?
Well, there's no question that we have work to do in promoting healthier behaviors as it relates to diet. And that's not exclusive to low-income communities. Mm-mm. That's a national problem. And, you know, the dietary guidelines have been recently been revised and just come out. But there's no question from work we're doing in early care to the school setting on into communities, we have a lot of work to do in changing behaviors around diet.
We would love to hear from you. And one of the things we want to hear is how close is the closest grocery store? In other words, how far would you have to go to buy an apple or some collard greens?
And I guess a question I would also ask is, you know, how far is the closest fast food establishment?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a question from Rodney Lynn. He's Associate Dean for Academic Affairs and Associate Professor in Georgia State University's School of Public Health. Rodney, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we want to pay a visit to one of these shops that is perhaps bringing more fresh food to urban neighborhoods. Metro Foods in South Atlanta is one of these corner stores that plans to partner with Georgia State. And our producer, Taylor Gant, stopped by there on Friday for a chat with the owner.
My name is Mesfin Shibishi. My middle name is Solomon. Mm-hmm. So you can call me Mesfin Solomon. I came from Ethiopia, and I've been doing this business for like 15 years. We have banana, we have some like pickles, all those kinds of good stuff. So we carry, and in the future, like Georgia State says, they would like to promote those kind of product, healthy foods. Those foods that are not healthy are tasty.
Very tasty.
Yes. They put some kind of stuff, or spicy, or salty, but those things are not good for us. But we eat it. But if we teach the kids and the whole family the consequences of food, then everybody's gonna be aware of what they eat.
Yes,
I told you.
My name is Sally Clerkley from Perry, Georgia.
and I've been coming soon, first time they open. I usually get the beer, well, I hate to say that, bourbon, and food, and fruit, and normally, yeah, the process, everything good.
Is it something that would be beneficial for you if they start carrying more and more different kinds of, like, fruits and vegetables and stuff?
Yes, sir, it will, because it'd be more helpful for the kids and the grown folks and whoever like fruit and vegetables. They're the best thing for to have.
Are there places close to here that sell them, like, pretty readily?
No, sir, it ain't.
Do you know the closest spot?
I say Saislock up the street.
How far away is that?
I say a couple of miles.
Really?
Yes.
Is it tough for folks here, especially if they don't have, like, access to, like, cars?
That's the only way.
It's the only way. Right.
And bus wise.
It is important because, like, you know, everybody, we all have a common thing. We eat. Some people don't have cars, so they can come and grab whatever they see. What you see is not healthy, or you don't know. You just eat to satisfy your hunger.
Right.
Georgia State is doing good because they want to make you aware of what you're eating, and so that you're not going to go to the doctors and incur a lot of expenses in the future.
Yeah.
That's what Georgia State is trying to do.
Just ahead, how Georgia's income inequality rate affects some of our state's youngest residents. But first, have you ever seen Sasquatch? This is On Second Thought.